has figured out. Because they haven't figured out what God wants them to do with their life. But they refuse to listen and they refuse to see the things that God is trying to show them. Amen. But here was a boy who was rejected by his brothers and he was sold into slavery. He was tempted by the flesh. He was tossed into a prison. Into a prison that I'm sure no doubt he had to struggle with, Pastor. No doubt he had to wonder, why am I in this place? I have a family back home. I have a father back home who loves me. And I'm wondering, why am I in the prison? Why am I in the situation? But God wants us to know tonight that he would have never received his purpose had he not gone first to the prison. The prison was the place where the baker took the story to the king. It was the place where he could finally see. It was the place where he could finally begin to look and see a different perspective. It was a place where he could finally go. And in the prison, sometimes we're in a place not because we've done something wrong. Amen. Look at Paul and Silas. We talk a big talk about Paul and Silas, Pastor. We talk a big talk about how the gates of the jail were opened and how that their bonds were loose. But we never really talk about how they got there in the first place. They got there because they were able to recognize a spirit that did not belong in the house of God. They were able to recognize a spirit that they did not want to be around. The Bible says that there was a woman. The Bible says it came to pass when they went to prayer that a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. And she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was a fortune teller. She liked to put on a good talk. She liked to be the insider. Amen. And the Bible says, and the same woman followed Paul and Silas. And the Bible says, and she cried. Oh, she walked a good walk, Pastor. She knew how to say all the right things. She knew exactly what to say, when to say it. She would say, oh, these men are the servants of the Most High God. She was right. She would say, they are showing us the way to salvation. She was right. But her spirit was recognized. And the reality is sometimes the people that were around and sometimes the people that were hanging around, they may look good on the outside, but the inside is all messed up. The inside has got something wrong, and we've got to be able to recognize who belongs in our life and who needs to go. No matter what they may seem like, God wants us to know that there are some people that don't belong in our life. There are some people that we've got to figure out, are they for us or are they against us? Amen. And the Bible says she did this for many days. Oh, she walked with them. She walked with them and she talked a big talk. Amen. But Paul being grieved. Amen. The Bible talks about giving us a spirit of discernment. Being able to recognize the things that don't belong. Being able to recognize when my life is, yes, I'm doing the same thing I've done every day. And I'm living for God the best I can. But there is something that's interfering and that's clashing with the Spirit of God. And we've got to be able to recognize it so that we can get it out of our life. So that we can go on from the prison to the purpose. Amen. And the Bible says that when their master saw that they had cast out the devil, amen, they got a little bit frustrated. They got a little irritated because it was their hope that they had in the world. It was something that they clinged to because it was something that they knew didn't belong. but it benefited them. And so they got upset. And they took Paul and they took Silas to the public and they took him to the marketplace. Amen. And this says that this is where they pressed the people and they pressed the magistrates to arrest them, saying they're teaching things that we shouldn't hear. In fact, the Bible says they called them something they weren't, Pastor. He called them Jews. They didn't even know who they were. And the problem is sometimes the enemy and sometimes the people around you, they say they're with you, but they don't even know you. They didn't even know what you stand for. Because all they can think about is what they want to do and what they want to input into your life. Amen. But Paul got sick of the spirit and he cast out the devil. And he made these guys so mad. Amen. The next thing you know, they turned on him. And here's the interesting thing. They didn't have a problem with Paul. The enemy and the people around you, they're not going to have a problem with you talking about Jesus. They're not going to have a problem with you talking about God until it interferes with their life. And you begin to shine a light on their life. And your holiness begins to shine a light on their unholiness. And then they get frustrated. And then they don't want to turn to God. And they don't want to accept what you're trying to preach. And so they'll say that you're wrong and you're not right and you need to get out. Amen. And the thing that they'll want to do is they'll want to try to bind you up. They'll want to try to make you follow their ways. They'll make you want to follow their ideas. Amen. But we know that we are living for a God that requires us to live a holy life, that requires us to live a life that's set aside. Amen. We live in a generation, amen, that's more confused, depressed, and broken than ever before. Amen. We run. I had a situation just the other day in school where a young lady came up to me and she was so overwhelmed and that she felt life was so hard and so overwhelming that she came to my class crying. Came to my classroom explaining how her school, her home, and her friends were just too much. She expressed the idea that it would just be easier not to be alive. And this is a lie the devil is selling our children in hopes that they will take their own life. It has gotten so bad at our school that on the back of every student ID card, we've had to put a suicide hotline number. And we've had to put little signs that we're asking their friends to watch out for. The devil doesn't play games. He plays for keeps. Amen. And we live in a generation that's depressed and broken and confused. We live in a generation that was taught to get trophies for participation. That's taught that we get awards for doing nothing. That we live in a generation who was taught not to appreciate the value of hard work. But that if we wait long enough, Bishop, if we just sit in a room and occupy space, if we just prepare for the battle, that we're going to win the war. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't work that way. We've got to be willing to work. We've got to be willing to fight. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:6 that you should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you be distressed by trials and suffer temptation. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, and your faith, which is more infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by the fire. The Bible says this is the proving of your faith. This is what will testify when God returns. Amen. It's that ability to go through the struggle, Pastor, but not to give up. The ability to go through the trial, but not give in. Amen. Tonight, we're about to discover that destiny and opportunity are on a collision course, and that our steps have been ordered of the Lord, and that our steps and the steps that we have taken on this journey called life are about taking us from the prison to the purpose. It's not about what I can do. It's about where I'm going. Amen. And it was just the other day that I saw some statistics, and these statistics shocked me, Pastor. This is what they said. They said that the United States of America has some of the lowest performing test scores in our schools. And this is among developed countries. However, when the students were asked how they thought they would perform in school, they had the highest rate of confidence in abilities they did not possess. They thought they were good, and yet they couldn't perform. Amen. However, the students that thought this, amen, it was not an issue of confidence, we realize. It's not an issue of knowing, hey, that you can succeed. But rather, it was an issue with the lack of ability to accomplish that which they had so much confidence for. And the only reason they lacked the ability was not because they didn't have the capacity, but it was because they never overcame the struggle. Learning is a series of struggles or steps. Learning comes with growing pains. Amen. It's mastery of one concept to get to the next. Amen. Sometimes we try to jump the steps in living for God, and we don't realize that we've got to go from one struggle to another struggle. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hold on. God said he'd never give me more than I could bear. You're right. God said he would never give you more than you could bear. But he never said there'd be no rain. He never said there wouldn't be cloudy days ahead. He said this was going to be a fight until the end. And I wonder tonight how many of us are going to be willing to fight. Amen. If we jump the steps in living for God, we will miss the realization that there is a process for every single one of us that we must go through to get from the prison to the purpose. Amen. You cannot get discouraged because you're in the prison. Paul and Silas, no doubt, could have got really discouraged about the fact that they were in a prison, about the fact that they were in a place that they didn't belong, about the fact that men turned on them the moment they started talking about Jesus. Amen. But you see, there is a reason we go through the struggle, and that's because we must go from the prison to the purpose, the concrete to the abstract, from the physical to the spiritual, and from the spiritual to the supernatural. Amen. I want to show you something for a minute. Now watch. Paul knew that he was in the prison. Physically and mentally, there was nothing he could do. And no doubt, amen, in his mind and in his body, he knew he was locked up and that he was bound in prison. No doubt every single one of us know the prisons that we face on a daily basis. We know the prisons that we deal up with up inside of our mind, and the prisons that we deal with the people around us. No doubt we know every corner of the prison, and we understand where we're at. Amen. But you see, his mind and his body knew that he was locked up and was bound. But you see, Paul was in a place that wasn't ideal for worship. It wasn't ideal for giving God praise. And sometimes we wait for that ideal moment to give God some praise, and we wait for the ideal moment to give God worship. We wait for Sunday morning. We wait for Sunday night. We wait for Wednesday night. We wait for prayer meeting. But I want you to know tonight that we can learn to give God praise right in the middle of the step. We can make it. Don't get discouraged because you're on a step. Don't get discouraged because you're on your way. Don't get discouraged because right now you're in the prison and you want to really be with the purpose, because there is coming a day, there is coming a moment where God is going to take you from step to step to step until you finally get from the prison to your purpose. Amen. I believe that. I believe that we don't have to wait for an ideal moment to worship God. You see, that's the physical. That's the mental prison that we've got to deal with. Amen. But the spiritual aspect came in when they begin to pray, when they begin to worship, when they begin, despite their mental, despite their physical reality, despite the physical and mental insecurity that they may have faced, no doubt insecurity set in. And they thought, man, what am I doing? Amen. Despite his physical and his mental pain of the struggle, that man, they were, I'm no doubt they locked them into a position, Pastor, that was uncomfortable, that didn't feel good for the moment. Amen. That didn't feel good physically, mentally, emotionally. But you see, they didn't wait for an ideal moment to worship God. They begin to worship God in the middle of their trial, in the middle of their pain, in the middle of their struggle, in the middle of their prison. And we've got to realize tonight, if we could just learn to worship in the middle of my prison, I don't care where my prison is. It might be in my mind. It might be in my body. But I'm going to worship God all the way through it, because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered daily. I've got to give him praise in the middle of my... Woo! I've got to give him praise where I'm at. Because if we can learn to get from the physical to the spiritual, we'll get to the supernatural. Watch. Paul said the supernatural stepped in when the ground began to shake. Some of you are in the middle of a ground shake. Some of you are in the middle of the bonds being loosed. Amen. The doors begin to swing open wide. The shackles fell off their feet and their hands. And the prison that held them could not contain them. Just like when Jesus died, he went and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. But it couldn't contain him. The Bible says he rose on the third day. Because he went from the prison to the purpose. He went from the prison to the purpose. He wasn't planning on staying in the prison. It was just a temporary dwelling. It was just a step in the struggle of life. And in that case, in the struggle of death, it was that he was going to overcome the grave. Amen. And so the supernatural stepped in. And the ground began to shake, and all the doors swung open wide, and the shackles fell off their feet and their hands. Amen. And it couldn't contain them. But you see, I don't want you to misunderstand this. We often shout about the fact, Pastor, that it was a prison break. It was not a prison break. It was not Jesus saying, ha, free pass, do not pass go, do not collect 200. No. It wasn't that. It was that God had a purpose. It was that God had a plan. that he had already ordained the steps of Paul and Silas. And yeah, they had to endure the prison for just a moment. They had to overcome the struggle of prison. They had to overcome the idea that, yes, my physical, my mental, my emotional state may be in compromise, but my salvation and my trust and my confidence in God, he's not compromised. Amen. And so it wasn't a prison break. This was a process that God had orchestrated in their lives to take Paul and Silas from the prison to the purpose. Amen. You see, sometimes people can't handle the struggle and they can't handle the disappointment. And when it comes to failure, they don't know how to deal with it, because all we can see is the prison. And we're stuck in the prison. Sometimes we get stuck in the prison because we keep trying the same thing over and over to get out that's not working. Or sometimes we get comfortable. We get content with where we are. Amen. And so we stay in the prison and we don't know how to reconcile with it or what to do with it. So when our confidence is crushed by failure, we'd rather give up and throw in the towel than to give up. Or we'd rather give up and throw in the towel and give up and close the door instead of getting up and trying something different. Trying a different avenue. What's worse is that if we do get the courage to get up and try again, we often repeat the same process that we've tried before and wonder why, Bishop, we're facing the same struggle. Why am I dealing with the same struggle? I thought I had the courage to overcome this. But the struggle needs you to try something different. Amen. And Jesus is standing at the door knocking. And he's wondering, when are you going to hear the knock? Amen. I've told you the joke before about knock, knock. Amen. Who is it? Oh, knock, knock. Who is it? Knock, knock. Who is it? Some of us stand around and we just keep listening to the knock, knocks. But we never open the door. God is waiting for somebody to open up the door to take you from the prison to the purpose. The doors are unlocked. They've swung open wide. Amen. Quit getting so comfortable in your prison. Help me, God, to quit getting so comfortable in the prison. Amen. I've got to stop getting discouraged. And I've got to try something different. I can't repeat the same process that I've tried before and wonder why I'm facing the same struggle again. Because this will bring a consensus to the idea that trying again is not worth it. And that all hope must be lost. So we trap ourselves in a prison of self-defeat, a prison where we have to change our perspective in order to see our purpose. Amen. Romans 8:28 teaches us that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. You've got to go from the prison to the purpose. Amen. And tonight I want to lead us down a path of understanding that God is wanting us to recognize who we are and where we are today. And he wants us to know that if we feel like we're in a prison, if we feel like we're in a place of self-defeat, if we're in a predicament that we don't understand, if we feel like we don't belong, if we feel like we don't have a way out of the struggle, if we feel like heartache, heartbreak, depression, rejection, or disappointment, God wants you to know you're about to go from your prison to your purpose. God wants us to know tonight we're not to be weary in well-doing. Amen. Because we're about to go from the prison to our purpose. Amen. Touch somebody and say, I have a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have a purpose. Amen. I think of David, King David from the Bible, who wrote the Psalm 23. Put up Psalms 23. I'm going to show you something for a minute. this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Stop for a minute. Go back. Yay. You see, Bible says he does all these things. Go back to one. The Lord, my shepherd. I don't need to want. Go to two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to make everything okay. He's making things feel good right now. He's leading me behind still waters. I don't have a storm going on. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But where is all this happening? Go to the next verse. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's doing all of this in a prison. He's doing all of this when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'm not going to fear any evil because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, your authority, your power, you reign in thy life. You're going to comfort me. Thou preparest. Hold up. The Bible says, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Not in the presence of the people who love you. Not in the presence of the people who treat you well at church or treat you well on the job or treat you well at school. It's in the presence of my enemies in my prison. Thou anointed my head in my prison. My cup runs over in the prison. Because surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going from the prison to the purpose. I'm going from the prison to the purpose. Now, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. We know that Paul and Silas came out of the prison. They were loosed. This man looks at him who was supposed to keep him in jail, who was supposed to keep him locked up, he was going to take his life because he knew he had failed at his mission and that person had overcome everything there was against him. Here was a man who had finally realized that the world doesn't have hope for me. About to take his life with a sword. And just like I told you, it wasn't a prison break, it was a purpose. It was going from the prison to the purpose. And so Paul looked at him and he said, stop! Don't take your life, we're all here. I'm about to fulfill my purpose for the prison. Don't waste it on this. Don't waste it on death. Hallelujah. You got to realize he went from the prison to the purpose. And he began to witness to this man. And this man began to realize, hold on. They're here for more than just a good talk. They're here for more than just a good sermon or a good testimony. Oh, they really have something. And so they begin to witness and they begin to talk to this man. And this man says, what must I do to be saved? The purpose had finally been revealed. Sometimes we're hanging on and we're wondering, why hasn't God delivered me from the prison yet? My God, I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been working so hard and I've been doing everything the preacher said to do and I don't understand it. But you see, there's a purpose. And you're about to go from the prison to the purpose. And this man, here's the interesting thing. The Bible says that he didn't just get saved. He said, what must I do? He said, be baptized. Peter laid down the foundation. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and your children. Well, guess what? That guard knew that the promise wasn't just for him. This promise was for his family too. And so he brings his family, and Paul and Silas sit down and have a Bible study in my mind. And they begin to talk about the Lord, and they begin to talk about what God can do in their life. And then they're baptized, him and his family, and they accept Christ into their life. The entire family. Verse 32 says, and they spake unto him with the word of the Lord, and all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour at the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set, hold on, he set meat before them. A man who was once his enemy. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. He went from the prison to the purpose. He went from the place that he was bound, oh, to understanding that God has a purpose and God has a divine intervention and God has something that he's prepared in this place tonight. And he wants you to know that whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through at home, in your life, in your marriage, in your with your children, God wants you to know you're about to go from the prison to the purpose. You're about to figure out what God has planned for the next step and the next phase of your life. Amen. He's not going to leave you discouraged. Amen. God said he would never give us more than we could bear. So if we're in a struggle, if we're in a trial, if we're in disappointment, believe the Lord when he says, I'll make a way of escape. I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies, your haters, are not going to be able to hate you anymore. Because your light is going to shine so bright and your testimony is going to be so big, amen, that you're going to be made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen. Your prison is going to be your testimony. That place that you've been dwelling for a while, that place that you've been dealing with, amen, you got to know right now that God's about to take you from your prison to your purpose. Paul saved an entire family from this time in the prison. He had what had happened if he got so discouraged? I'm about to close right now. I would like some help tonight. Amen. Paul saved an entire family from his time in a prison. He had got discouraged because of where he was in the process. If he had got discouraged because of where he was in the process, the story may have turned out different. And Paul would have never been able to accomplish his purpose. And he never would have been able to see the fruit of the time that he spent in the prison. Amen. No matter what that may be. If you could stand with me tonight. God. Tonight is a time that God's knocking on the door of your heart. God has already, during worship service, been speaking to some